I'll come to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember LaFrance.
Here.
Councilmember DeVries.
Here.
Councilmember Combs.
Here.
Councilmember Carrington.
Here.
Councilmember Best.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Hansen.
Here.
Mayor Johnson.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Our next item of business is the Pledge of Allegiance. Councilmember LaFrance, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So next is audience participation, time for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council for up to 3 minutes, 5 minutes if you are representing a group. Audience participation is now open.
Glad to be back. Ready, set. You started to collect it up? Okay. Yeah, I'm watching. Okay, ready, set, go. My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I reside in Matteson, the Valley. I represent myself. I follow the process used by officials for these public meetings. And as the appropriate process used for these public meetings, the decision made by the governing body will more likely be in the public interest. Well, there's a lot of things I've witnessed, but I'll think one thing that stands out, and I think you need to be connected on this. There was a joint meeting of the Port Commission for Anchorage and the Valley, Mayor's Conference Room, Berkowitz, upstairs, 8th floor. Roughly a couple weeks ago. The day before the meeting, I went before the Borough Assembly and says, you can't have the meeting, you can't be part to it. Because Municipality of Anchorage didn't even advertise it, and the Borough did not change the time, the location of the meeting until the paper the day before. Policy of indifference, they had the meeting. I was there at 11 o'clock, joint meeting of the Borough, the Metro Borough Port Commission and the Anchorage Port Commission. Mayor Berkowitz was present. They have a thing, we have a thing in the borough where you have what we call introduction, whereas they don't have that in Anchorage. There's also a place for public comments, but they found no time for it. They cut it out that 1 hour meeting. But for the introduction part, because it was a joint meeting, I said the following words. My name is Eugene Carl Haberman to represent myself. Please note the Municipality of Anchorage did not advertise this meeting, and the Matteson Borough did not advertised a change of time of location for the location of this meeting until yesterday's newspaper. The Anchorage Port Director responded and says, I take responsibility for dropping the ball on this, and they continued the meeting. You know, outside of the budget crisis the state's in and everyone, you can't be blind to what's going on, the next big promising thing of irregularity has been dealing with the port, both in Anchorage and the Valley. From time to time, I've addressed the port issue to you and how the borough is handling it, and this is how it's continued. They continue to do a policy of indifference, and the only hope is that you are part of the borough. You need to speak out, and you should not be party to it. But also to note, and I guess I'm not going to have too much time, 36 seconds, is this. From time to time, some members here, are on different borough bodies, including the Marijuana Committee last night. And in that meeting, I pleaded in past is when there's a public hearing, before that public hearing, which didn't happen last night, you're not supposed to inject opinion. You're free to ask questions to staff, but almost the entire meeting was representatives, almost everyone there, of the committee injecting opinion, and that was outright wrong. That's what's going on. Thank you. Didn't meet the 3 minutes.
Yes, you did. All right, anyone else would like to come forward to address the council? Seeing no one additional come forward, audience participation is now closed. And that brings us to the new business, which is a report from our city manager on the Mat-Su Borough E911 and dispatch services, the request for proposal discussion. Could you just start by letting us know what we have before us?
Another version of this.
So everybody gets a... Okay, replacing old version... Old big version one, two. Okay.
Okay, so my request tonight is for guidance or some direction. The proposal's been out. This is in regards to the request for proposal for E911 and dispatch services at the borough, which is 16-100P. I didn't print that one out. It's a huge document. And my intent tonight is not to go over that document in detail. What you have in front of you is a spreadsheet. That is the staff work. We've taken out all the requirements from the RFP and consolidated into a spreadsheet, identified what we currently have, what initial startup cost might be, and what the annual maintenance costs might be. So some of these have items that are filled in. Again, tonight, I'm not going to go over those details because we're not to that point yet. We don't have enough information to decide that. There has been an extension for this RFP to go for an additional month. I requested a two-month extension to take us out till June. The other document you have before you, there should be a blue one that looks like this. That is from the E911 board. That's their annual proposed budget for 2017. The board approved it, so it'll go to the borough. That is providing us some information on what funding might be available for the potential proposal. You also got a copy of, on letterhead, two letters that I sent the borough. One is the request for extension, which is probably the last document, and then our request for clarification, which was the first document. And then one last document should have is the borough's response, which is amendment two from the borough that says that there's been an extension to the May 30th, and it also has responses to our clarification questions. So there's two things tonight for this session that I'd like to get through, the executive session at the end. If we can reserve 15 minutes, I'd like to at least start that session before we go into regular session, but I'm not going to direct the time. If this goes on and the body decides to continue this discussion on dispatch, we can do executive session afterwards, but I would like to try to at least have 15 minutes executive session at the end. So from this past staff perspective, we have reviewed the RFP internally. We attended a pre-proposal meeting with the borough. We submitted our clarification request that you have and our request for a 60-day extension for our response. And the borough, based at that first meeting, gave us just automatically a 30-day extension because they realized how complicated it was based on the questions we submitted. But the folks in that room didn't necessarily think that would be enough time. So I'd already went over the sheets, except for the RFP. So we do have something that we're tracking on what and how we should propose to this proposal, but it is very complicated. So we're in the process of obtaining quotes for the items that we already identified we don't have. For hardware and software, for those portions that are identified in the RFP, where we don't either have it on hand or there's a requirement for an upgrade even before submission, or at least to meet some of the requirements of the proposal. So we're already in the process of trying to gather that information. My assessment is this RFP is an attempt by the borough to reassign a portion of their responsibility for providing emergency services to the borough by shedding dispatch services completely. The RFP is not only for services that we currently provide through the Palmer Dispatch Center, but it's also for the maintenance on operations of the E911 system. It's for program management of dispatch services to include policy and program guidance. It's also for system maintenance, for capital programming for related upgrades and services, and also interfaces throughout the borough. So it's not just providing call answering and dispatch. It is program management for E911 and dispatch. It also requires the proposer to either provide or subcontract for a secondary call-taking operation. Currently, the borough pays Wasilla to be the secondary with a primary, so the borough is providing that overhead. This contract requires the proposer to take over that role. This proposal also includes assuming liability system-wide for dispatch and E911. Because we have call takers and dispatchers, we share that liability now, but whoever wins or assumes this proposal will be responsible for that as well. There's a hold harmless portion of that RFP. So we currently provide a great operation for call taking and dispatching now, and it's for the borough, but we don't manage the program. This would be a complete change for how we do business and how we would have to operate in the future. Basically acting in place of the borough, which might not be a bad thing in some instances, but as a city, I don't believe it is our responsibility or our best interest. I should say it's not our best interest. It may be our responsibility to make sure our citizens are protected, but it's not in our best interest to pursue this RFP as published and to assume the responsibility that the borough has to provide emergency service in this area. I don't want to give the impression to this body or to the borough assembly that we're not interested in continuing to provide an excellent service by not potentially providing an answer or response to dispatch for this RFP. We could provide a response to the proposal that does not fully meet the request. The potential there is that it is rejected outright as an unqualified proposal. It says no alternates will be reviewed. I think it may be worth entertaining a conversation with Matt Comer Wasilla to see if being a subcontracted secondary is in our best interest to maintain a robust dispatch backup for the borough or for whoever the proposer is, and to dispatch our own police and fire with current technology. We haven't pursued that option pending discussion here tonight. We will start negotiations on a contract extension because that portion of the RFP said that this wouldn't take place. Whoever the winning proposal is won't start until January, so there's a 10 or a 6-month gap already identified. So we're starting negotiations on that contract extension to take us through that period through December 30th. And we'll also start to work up a cost figure on what it would cost to continue our dispatch operations for our police and our fire department if the borough no longer funds the current service that they are. So any associated costs will be part of our budget prep for 2017. We'll have that information available. So in a nutshell, that's our assessment. It's a very complicated process. It's a programmatic change. It's not a call center call taking change. It is it's the full package, full program of NE911. And again, as I stated, I don't think it is a city responsibility. Not that we couldn't do it, but it would change the nature of how we do business and dispatch. So at this point, I'd request a discussion or additional guidance on or answer any questions that I might be able to entertain at this point in time with the information that we have. And one other thing, Mike may put you on the spot, but Mike may have additional comments about the liability piece as well.
Madam Mayor, basically the document has hold harmless clauses. You know my position on that. Also, there's some public policy considerations with regard to those, and the question there is, can you even agree to those? That's a conversation for another date, but that agreement places a lot of risk allocation on the city side if it were to undertake the project.
Madam Mayor.
Councilmember Carrington.
So if we were to pursue a secondary or backup, does that make then whoever is the primary takes the load of the liability, et cetera, or does that get shifted as well?
The primary would have responsibility, but as a subcontract, that would have to be something we would negotiate as part of a subcontract. My take on that, it wouldn't be much different than we are at this point because we're responsible for our people and their actions.
Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you, Your Honor. If we were to move into that secondary, is that subject to whoever gets the bid for them allowing us to do that, or can we bid it that way?
The way the clarification came across, the proposer would have to provide that piece as part of their proposal and not as a separate. Either the language I came back with was, the secondary piece would be either provided or subcontracted by the primary.
Councilmember LaFrance?
Do you get the impression that anyone's going to go for this?
My impression is that Wasilla will pursue this, but the conversations we've had, I wouldn't say they have an advantage, but they do own more equipment than we do. So their proposal may be less a dollar figure than anything we would come up with. However, just the nature of the program, I think they're struggling with it as well as we are. But my impression is that they will propose something.
Councilmember Carrington.
From what you're describing, it sounds like this is, you know, like a fundamental shift from what's been going on in the past. I mean, I know it's a bid, but I mean, are we talking a factor of like 10 times compared to what we've been doing, or what's your impression?
The day-to-day workload wouldn't change for the dispatchers or for the dispatch supervisor or for the folks that receive those calls in emergency services. What would change would be who forecasts upgrades to equipment, who negotiates subcontracts for telecom services, for computer upgrades, who provides the technology support. We don't do that now. We do participate in that process, but it would require someone to manage that, which is above and beyond, I think, what our current structure is. The other piece is interfacing with a secondary to make sure that the interface is between the two systems. So coordinating with a secondary is something that we do not do. Coordinating with the E911 board, we do have members on that board, but we don't necessarily respond to them as a body. We don't necessarily respond to the borough either. We pretty much run the operation for them, but that's the day-to-day operational piece of the 911 and dispatch service. So putting a price tag to that additional piece is kind of where we're seeing big numbers.
I have a question.
Councilmember Hansen.
So what is the relationship between the E911 budget you have? Are you saying that this is available money potentially for their funding source, for our funding source? We take over the whole thing. Is basically, are you looking to assume this source of revenue for ourselves? Or
This would, based on the interpretation, this would fund some of E911, not necessarily the dispatch portion. Again, that's been loosely interpreted. So on the back page where it has the capital projects of $4 million, my assumption is that that will go to whoever wins this proposal as part of that contract. My guess is that this funding will support that contract because there are requirements to upgrade the E911 system. There's money set aside for that now. There's money set aside for the CAD upgrade now. It just hasn't been expended. My gut tells me that those that are working this at the mid-management and operator level hope to see this fail. That's my opinion. So that they can get back to negotiating the contract for dispatch and calling and not the program. But again, that's my personal opinion. That nobody will come out and say that. But the way it's written, it really lends itself to that. The dangerous ground is ignoring it and waiting to see if that happens.
Councilmember LaFrance.
Not to ask you to speculate too much, but in your opinion, is the borough taking this approach simply to get the liability off its back?
No, I don't think that's it at all. I think the liability piece is a secondary thought. And I don't even know if that may have been left over from something else. I think it's so they don't have to deal with, I mean, I think there's a political issue going on that goes way back to where Wasilla wanted this and has put pressure on folks to make sure that Wasilla has dispatch in Wasilla. I think that's really what's kind of driving this. But then there is the workload that is there, that so the IT folks could look at this as an opportunity to shave costs from their budget because some of it would get picked up by the E911 surcharge budget. But the I don't think the hold harmless piece is what's driving it. One, because we provided such a good service, that hasn't been an issue. The other thing is, all this does is consolidate dispatch in a building. It doesn't consolidate dispatch. When you talk about the troopers, that is a completely separate organization. They contract with MATCOM. If MATCOM wins this, it just so happens that now they have two contracts. Who's to say that the troopers wouldn't pull out of that contract at the end of their time in 2 years? And then we're back to, if we're doing this to consolidate, if the troopers pull, we're not consolidated again. If they go to someone else, if we do something to bid for the trooper contract in the future. So those are all things that when people say consolidate dispatch, it puts it in one building, but it doesn't put it the program in one place. And it doesn't change the nature of dispatching EMS. It's done out of one place. Fire and EMS are done out of our building. Fire, EMS, and the city of Houston. We dispatch for the city of Houston. So that's another piece that, okay, that is not part of this whole contract movement. If this goes away, we could still negotiate with the city of Houston to dispatch their fire department. We're still going to, my assumption is that we're still going to dispatch our police department and we're still going to dispatch our fire department. So we're going to want to have our own dispatch, have that conversation at some point. It may get too expensive where we can't do that, and it might be cheaper, more effective. I don't want to say it's more effective because I know that won't be the case. But it may, one of the options may be to contract to whoever does this in the future if it's not us. So that's down the road, but it's a consideration. If we don't continue as we are, how do we fund our current dispatch service?
Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you, Your Honor. Is there any thought at all that the borough, the way they have designed this bid, that they wouldn't get any bidders and they would bring it all back into the borough? Is there political will there to do that?
I think there may be. I don't know that they have the financial wherewithal to do that. If I wanted to speculate, we've heard the Iditarod building being thrown around as something that the troopers could consolidate into. It's a very expensive price tag to put together to make it habitable for any type of office. But if the borough so choose to not contract with us or refuse any proposal, there's potential they could consolidate on their own. But I think that price tag I've heard is anywhere from 15 to 25 million, depending on the facility and the services they provide. So I think maybe the political will might be there, but I don't think the funding is at this point. The E911 surcharge is a huge money pot, but you can't use that for a lot of things. That's not to say it couldn't change in the future, but
in your discussion with the borough, do you get a sense that their computer system is available for us to purchase? I mean, they're asking for us to have all the terminals, all the phones, all the lines, and including all the software, and do all the maintenance on it. But it's their software, even though it's in, and it's all their equipment, but it's in place in Palmer. Have you talked to them about a price that they might potentially sell that whole system to us? Because I don't have time to read through all there if it's in there.
No, we do not have a price for that. If it could be part of our proposal to buy that at a certain cost, but it would become surplus at this point to the borough, to whoever provides a response to this. So then it would be available either afterwards, or if the proposal could include a purchase for a dollar or a purchase for fair market value clause in it.
So what are you looking for us for direction from us to provide for you tonight, other than giving an update on what's going on, where and what and how do you want us to look at this, and what do you want to have come back from us tonight?
Originally, when I scheduled this, I thought we would be up against the April 20th deadline to have a proposal in, and I was looking for a yes or no answer tonight because we've got the extension, and I think we'll get another extension till June. I think it's permission or open this discussion with Wasilla on what a subcontract might be, either as us as a primary, which I don't know that would be, again, gets to that whole piece. My personal opinion is I don't believe we should be in that business, but if we want to go that direction, then our first look at it should be we're the primary. But then we would have to subcontract with somebody or put in our proposal that we're going to stand up a second center somewhere. So the first piece would be guidance to talk to Wasilla or not. The second piece, we're going to continue to get numbers and pursue this. Unless there's discussion tonight now, if the discussion or your guidance is we don't want to take on the borough's responsibilities, then I would focus on life after proposal. But I don't know that we're there yet. We still got some time. We're not up against April 20th deadline. So the first piece would be guidance on, we think there might be an opportunity to subcontract either as a secondary or subcontract with Wasilla as a primary. So having guidance whether to do that or not is valid. Just knowing the sensitive nature that we have in politically working with other government organizations that haven't been fully honest with us in the past. So I know that we're going to have issues as we go through this to make sure that we are fairly represented in any type of work we do with another organization. So that would be the first piece. The second piece is if there's consensus that we really don't want to touch this, then that would be great too. But I don't know that we have to decide that tonight or give me direction on that tonight.
Councilor Hanson.
Well, from my perspective, I think you have a great perspective on some of the things we're dealing with, especially with some of our, let's just call them competitors. So, I think you do need to open a dialogue and see kind of where we stand with Wasilla and, you know, the borough for that matter. But and I would agree also that the drop-dead thing is probably not appropriate tonight. But there has to be some consideration, I think, to, as you phrase it, life after proposal, because there's a real possibility of that happening. So I think we do need to get a game plan of, you know, what we're going to do in the event that the political will is better than the financial sense and they really screw another project up. So I think you're on the right track myself.
Councilman Caprice.
Thank you, Your Honor. I agree with Councilman Hanson. I think you have a good grasp of what's going on. As we get further down, if we do decide to do the secondary, I would just like to see some really effect upon present staffing and, you know, all of that, whether what kind of upgrades we'd have to our equipment, et cetera. So I guess I'd like to see some more of that. If you come back to us and it looks like that's the way we need to go or so. And then I was looking at, just glancing at the lead cover sheet, and I appreciate you doing that. I know I hopefully didn't come on too strong when you had the small before us, so thank you very much for your patience and for doing that. But for the initial startup cost, I see some figures in here, but I don't see some totals or anything, and maybe it's too early for those yet. But as they start to cement a little bit, I guess I'd like to see some of those also. Thank you.
My approach to the secondary would be it doesn't look anything less than we currently have. The piece that I would be fearful of and that would have to negotiate is any potential upgrades or future upgrades would have to be part of the contract, and the primary would have to support or pay for those. What I don't want to do is sign up for something now and then get a bill when they change computer systems or radio systems that now we're forced to foot that. So my intent going in would be nothing less than we've got now. If we're going to be a secondary or a backup, then that's the position I think we should go for. The piece about the numbers, as the numbers get solidified and we have quotes and estimates, I think that would probably be more appropriate for an executive session, and we put those on the calendar as we see fit. Because what I want to do is tip our hand to any other proposers, and I think that was suggested earlier, maybe by Mike.
Madam Mayor,
I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Councilwoman Combs.
Thank you. We need a motion
to give direction. Am I correct?
Not necessarily. I mean, if you want to make a motion, but I want to, as long as the manager's clear and wants to, has clear idea on what he's feels like the will of the council is. I mean, I guess what I've heard you say is there's more time now, and I mean, just the sense of how much things are actually, what actually may be able to be researched in this coming couple weeks. There should be a little more information to be brought forward, too. But anyway, did you have sense? I mean, do you want to say repeat back or ask any more of the council, I guess? I want to know if you feel like you've got a sense of what the council wants.
My understanding, based on the conversation, is that I'm permitted or given the direction to approach Wasilla or consult with Wasilla on a potential subcontract, either as primary or secondary, and to continue to gather quotes and estimates to see what this may actually cost us in the long run, and that there is this similar concerns with the body that I have with the RFP.
All right, Councilmember DeVries.
Yeah, thank you, Your Honor. When you were making your presentation to us, it looked like you were reading from something that was printed out. I was just wondering if we could all have a copy of it. No, we can't. Okay.
No, I
so, yeah, just so I have that with the stuff I have. Thank you very much.
Councilmember Best.
You know, I find it kind of interesting that the borough is asking for secondaries positions to be added into the contract. We're in this situation because there's so few individuals that are going to be bidding on this. You're actually subjecting one contractor to be limited by the secondary contractor. So if we were to say as a secondary we wanted to have a $10 million slice, does that then calculate in with Wasilla as a primary as a whole bid? You know, it'd be their primary bid and a secondary bid going in to be considered as one number. It's just kind of odd the way that they're having that done versus just having a multiplier and say, if you are a primary bidder, you also have to subject yourself to be a secondary bidder based off of a multiplier that would be added to your contract as a, and you would come in as a secondary if you are not the primary winner, which is kind of, you know, then it would just be an automatic versus you having to negotiate with Wasilla to give them, for them to give you some sort of number and vice versa, and then that's going to be added to your total number. That's just kind of weird. So I don't get why the borough's doing that. So I appreciate the work that you're doing on this, and I know that we're going to go in there with sharpened pencils and give the best numbers that we can and watching out for ourselves. But the way that this is being ran, this is really odd.
All right, is there anything else? I'm going to go ahead and close this discussion. And our next, that will give us just about the right amount of time for our executive session. The potential litigation matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the city concerning the wastewater treatment facility. Note, council action may be taken following the executive session. Do we have a motion to move into executive session?
So moved.
Second.
Made and seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say no. All right, we are now ready to move into executive session. Madam Clerk, would you please prepare the chambers?